All right, here it is. Season finale of season one of Rolling Out the Barrel, the vintage baseball podcast, talking to vintage baseball players about all kinds of stuff and vintage baseball. And in this episode, the season finale, we talk to Adam McCulley, Jamie Johnson, Jim Terwilliger, Rudy Frias, and Jeff Kozlowski about baseball. That's right. It was 4.5 hours of baseball talk, but we're splitting it up into many episodes. So, this episode and the other parts that will follow are a retrospective look at the biggest vintage baseball tournament in the Midwest, the World's Tournament at Greenfield Village with the Henry Ford Museum. Let's listen. Shan't we?
Jeff Cougar Kozlowski, Greenfield Village, la-di-da's.
Hey, it's Jamie Cap Johnson from the Independence of Bay City, Michigan.
Adam McCauley, Squints McCauley from the Saginaw Old Golds.
Hey, everybody, this is Jim Crazy Legs Terwilliger from the Walker Tavern Wheels Baseball Club.
Hello, friends. This is Swamp Fox Frias of the Columbus Capitals Baseball Club.
Silver Mike.
Hi, Rudy.
Hi.
World's Tournament, it's a big deal. We all know that. With us are the five captains that went through a majority, if not all of it, we're about to find out, of the history of the reincarnation of the World's Tournament in Dearborn, Michigan. These guys have all played each other multiple times in multiple important matches, and apparently they remember every detail of every match that ever happened. So we're going to go through the years, and we're just going to start talking baseball. And we're going to start with Jeff Kozlowski telling us about the actual history and origins of the World Tournament.
So the World Tournament was a real tournament. It was originally took place in 1867, which is why Greenfield Village uses the 1867 rules. It was hosted by the Detroit Baseball Club, who had a really good 1866 and was trying to make Southeast Michigan a hub of baseball. They were hoping that some of the big time baseball teams of the East Coast, when they were traveling west to places like Cleveland and Chicago, would also make a stop in Detroit and really kind of grow Detroit. And at the same time, they were trying to settle the age-old story, which was, who is the best baseball team in the world? And they were hoping that we could have an answer to that, and the answer would be the Detroit Baseball Club when it was all said and done. So it was originally going to be on August 18th, or it was set for August 18th, 1867. They had two fields ready to go and ultimately decided to only use one. They had 23 teams from mostly the Midwest, but a few teams from Canada. 23 teams. The tournament lasted 8 days and was divided into three class brackets, but there was no criteria for what team belonged in what bracket. Basically, when you signed up for whatever bracket it is that you wanted to be in. So the first class bracket was made up of two teams from Canada, two teams from Michigan, and the Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. The winners were a team called the Unknown Baseball Club of Detroit, or I'm sorry, the Unknown Baseball Club of Jackson, who Jackson and Detroit did not get along very well. And so when they finally ended up winning the tournament, the Detroit Baseball Club was hoping to challenge Jackson. Jackson said, no thanks, we've been here long enough, and they took their trophy and they went home. And that kind of a bitter taste in people's mouth, coupled with Detroit losing a couple pretty embarrassing games. Like, they lost a game to the University of Michigan's baseball team. They gave up 70 runs in that game. That was the one and only time that it took place in 1867. So when Greenfield Village was bringing its historic baseball program and growing it, we were looking at ways that we could kind of culminate the summer, and rebirthing the World Tournament in 2003 was the way that it was chosen. It's been going ever since.
How many years did the vintage baseball program exist at Greenfield Village before the World Tournament came in?
The La-Di-Das themselves were actually started, I think, in 1992, 92, 93, somewhere around there. It was really kind of unofficial. It was essentially, it was all museum employees. It was basically some museum employees against the workers at Firestone Farm at games on Firestone Farm. And then as the years went by, you had other teams that existed elsewhere in the Midwest that were brought in. You had visitors that were coming in that were just fascinated by this vintage baseball thing, because it certainly is not what it is today. It was very, very niche. And as more visitors come in, said, you know, I'd be interested, I'd be willing to volunteer, the program kind of swelled in the ranks. So from the early 90s until the formation of the National Baseball Club, which is Greenfield Village's second club, to the World Tournament in 2003. The World Tournament kind of represents the first phase of the Henry Ford's growth in historic baseball.
Okay, so getting right into it, with it starting in 2003, the Clodbusters definitely reigned supreme over the early part of the World Tournament. Were any of you five involved in the first year in 2003?
Rudy was.
Hello. yeah, I was. the Columbus Capitals got the invitation, and it was like hearing the Beatles for the first time, because, you know, coming from Ohio, we were used to two steps off the bag. You're in the center of your field. You have to play on the bound, stuff like that. And then when we got there, I was a much younger man at that time. And knowing that, like, I was like, wait a second, I can just take off running once I get on base. Like, I remember my very first at bat. This, you know, you were talking about, you remember everything about the World Tournament. I remember my first at bat and feeling the most freedom I'd ever felt. Like, it was just like regular baseball to me. I was like, I'm going to hit the ball into the outfield and I'm not going to stop running. And my very first at bat was a triple. I hit it to right center field. I was on Walnut 2, just took off because I was like, they're not going to get me out in a bounce and they can't stop me. And it was so much fun. And I remember after our first match, I wish I could tell you who we played, but I remember my first at bat. And I remember being like, we have to continue to come back. This is something special. We like this a lot. And plus we had never played in front of, so like the Ohio Village, they generate, you know, a crowd every now and then, especially in like 2003, they had crowds coming through, and I'd been with them in the 90s when it was a big deal, but we had never seen anything like the Henry Ford in Greenfield Village. So it was the atmosphere alone. We knew it was something very, very special.
Do you remember your result?
We won 2 games on Saturday. That's all I remember from 2003.
Do you remember who knocked you out?
I feel like it was the Grangers. The Grangers gave us fits for the first couple of years. Them and the Kent Baseball Club.
Yeah.
I remember the Capitals having so many close matches with both of those clubs in like the early years that it had to be one of those clubs.
So going on to 2005, because you have to skip 2004 because it was canceled due to rain, apparently. So it looks like everything was wiped out. So 2005, you come back and the Clodbusters are still in their glory day of winning this tournament. Cougar, what year is it that you come in to the World's Pitcher?
05 was my first World Tournament. That was my first season playing historic baseball, and 05 was my first one playing it. 04, or actually, yeah, 04 was my first one as an employee, but I was a presenter in the museum. And I remember it was just a ridiculous amount of rain. There were players coming into the museum that were just soaked, just absolutely soaked to the bone. So I was like, I guess I didn't miss too much. But 2005, yeah, that was my first real taste of the World Tournament.
So the 2005 championship, the Columbus Capitals lose to the Clodbusters in the finals. Rudy, any memories of that match?
No, because I I missed that one. I don't want to brag, guys, but I'm kind of a professional actor. No, but I was actually, I was in a show in Cleveland. I was working in Cleveland, and I begged my director. I was like, please just give me this weekend off. And I couldn't get it off, but I did talk to my little brother who was a part of that match. And I remember getting phone calls in between breaks and rehearsal from my mom, giving me the rundown of the game. And I called my little brother, Eric. I probably should have called Ian because Eric said, I said, what do you remember about that game? First words, quote unquote, they cheated. which he completely sarcastic, but it was a tough match. I know that for a fact because coming from Columbus, the Clodbusters kind of, they were a team in Ohio that when you played, you knew you were playing the best team in the state. And it, anytime you could get a win over the Clodbusters was a big deal. And the Capitals in 2005, we were still a young team, young enough that in 2005, I think Eric had just graduated high school. Like he was out of high school. So we had a pretty young crew. So yeah, I know that it was a tough match. That's all I could tell you about that.
Jimmy Twilliger, Crazy Legs, what year did Walker show up at the World?
We actually had our first showing in 2009. We were, you know, left with an award, which was nice.
It's a snack for the ride home, Jim. That's what it was.
It was snacks for the ride home. And, you know, to be said, 2009, yes, we were able to get the beautiful bag of peanuts for the one of two teams that didn't win a game. But we decided in 2010 to, you know, do that again. We were back-to-back peanut winners 2009.
Look at you now, though. Look at you now.
You know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
There you go.
But
I remember the origin story.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say it was 2009, and if you have the sheet in front of you, was it Saginaw and Columbus?
Yep.
And I remember it was my first – well, see, the wheels started in 2008. I don't know if we won a game that year, but I remember 2009 looking and watching the championship game. And I remember Rudy throwing a one hop or maybe even a direct shot to Ian at first base from left field. And I said, boys, that's how it's done. So it was great. Losing, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's the world tournament. I mean, it was the beginning of everything that we had hoped to be a part of.
Who won in 2006?
2006 was the Clodbusters. That was the first year that Greenfield Village, first and only, unless they decided to do it since I've been there, first and only year they decided to play completely open baseball. There were no restrictions, no anything, no ducking, no dodging. And that was our first year there. So you could take as big a lead as you wanted and go whenever you wanted. There wasn't any restrictions. And the Clodbusters were just, I mean, they were slide. They had told us to please not slide, but I don't think the Clodbusters listened to that at all. As I recall, in the championship game, when I think it was Clodbusters 42 and us like 28 or some ridiculous score, all I heard was Ernie Harwell like, and there goes the weasel, and there goes the weasel. This guy stole like 80 million bases, I think. I was just going to say one of my fondest memories is one that a gentleman who had a nickname of Tricky, who played for the La-Di-Da's. I don't know if he completely remembers this moment, but we were playing against, it was either the La-Di-Da's or the Nationals. I don't really remember because that was a while ago. But my cousin Brandon Rope Rivette was behind the plate, and I was checking on our scores with the scoring table. And Tricky kept, you know, edging off as if he was going to run. And then he just finally decided to, and Rope cocked back. And I stopped writing to watch what was going to happen because he's got just an amazing arm. And he released. And I remember watching the trajectory of the ball and watching how Tricky was running. And I went, pow. And then immediately after, the ball shot off his skull and into center field, and Tricky dropped like somebody just shot him from off the hill. And apparently Tricky must not have been very popular at that moment with his own club, because the only people that ran up to see if he was okay was our guys. I'm keeping book, and I'm like, tag his ass. He was out. We ran into him later, and he said he still had a headache. So
looks like in 2006, the reserve championship was won by the Capitals over the Rochester Grangers. So they didn't always have your number, Ruby. Remember?
Well, that was our first victory over them, and we had come. So that Cap talks about the sliding thing. We were like, oh, we can slide, but it's so ingrained in us not to slide from being in Ohio that we won that in like a walk-off. The game-winning run was on third base. A left-hander gets up to bat. One of Ian's friends, he pokes the ball over to third base, and he's running. And the only way he was going to be safe was sliding into first. And he slid into first. And instinctually, all of us went, oh, no, because that's what we were taught. But he was safe, and the run scored, and we ended up winning the game. So, yeah, that was we felt really excited about that. We were because, you know, we figured it's okay. You know, we don't have to be ashamed to do things to, you know, that are allowed to win the game.
So coming into 2007, Bay City's already there with their appearances. Jeff Kozlowski's with the La-Di-Das, who are now being involved in some of the farther along matches during the process. Adam McCulley, when does Saginaw start making their appearances? What year?
Our first year was 2007.
Okay, right? So this is the first year for you.
Yeah.
That we're in. And in 2007, looks like it was the La-Di-Das defeating the Spiegel Grove Squires in the championship. Obviously, I do not have...
Then we're eight. We're eight then, Matt.
Oh, you're 2008.
Yeah.
Okay. So in 2007, so I'm Jeff Kozlowski, the La-Di-Das run into the championship. What do you got from that?
I remember it was after 06 that, we've been the good host. And during the summer of 07, one of our managers of the program said, we need to win our own tournament. We have to do it. You know, everybody else is bringing their 10 or 11 best. We need to put our 10 or 11 best out there too. And that's what we did. We fielded our 10, 11. That's when we felt like, you know, we got a shot now. We have an actual chance to win this. So I remember we were trying to set the tone. We were on Walnut 2 playing the West Side Emeralds, which had been coming for a few years, but we're basically Civil War reenactors who just had a baseball problem. And the guy had me batting leadoff. Our captain had us batting leadoff. And on Walnut 2, I was working on my inside out swing, and I got the right pitch over the outside part of the plate, and sent the right fielder flying and led off the game with inside the park home run. And at that point I was like, I think we got a shot here. Like, I think we got a real chance. So we won our first two games, played the Clodbusters in the semis. You know, the Clodbusters are, you know, as skilled as they were not used to swift pitching. And this was the first year that the La-Di-Das introduced swift pitching. Jack Lawson, Pirate, it went to Marcus Dixon, who's one of our historians. It was like, so what can I do as a pitcher? And everything he read was like, they're talking about swift pitching in the rule books. They're talking about what bat to use against swift pitching. So you don't necessarily have to serve it up. You want to put some speed on it, you can. And he did. And that really mixed up the Clodbusters enough that we were able to pull out the win there. And then go in against Spiegel Grove, who knocked us out last year. And you know, they put up 10. We were down 10 runs at one point. We had a crazy 10-run inning to tie it up. They put a few more across. I remember making a diving catch on a wet grass because it rains at the World Tournament. Like every single year, it rains at the World Tournament. I made this diving catch that I had no business catching. And yet somehow the baseball gods were with me, and we just kept adding on. We won. Our catcher caught the final out in both the Clodbusters and the Squires game. He was an original La-Di-Das and our normal starting pitcher, but they had him playing catcher for part of the game. He caught both of the last outs, and my girlfriend, who is now my wife, came up to me and was like, how you feeling? And I started to talk and I just started crying. Like, this was, aside from one little tournament when I was 15, this was the first tournament I had ever won playing baseball. And it was like, it was so much work and so much effort and so much emotion that all just kind of came out. I didn't know what to do. And I just started crying right in front of the scoreboard there. So that was huge. That was huge. It's, you know, you can't really describe it until it happens.
Is this about the time where you're starting to notice that this is turning into something maybe a little bit more than even you guys anticipated when you started putting this together?
Yeah, you know, the more that we talk to people, the more that we talk to the players about, man, I can't wait till next year. Can't wait till we come back. And it's like, as somebody who plays at Greenfield Village every Saturday and Sunday, you know, the world tournament is special. You know, but once you get on the field, it feels like another game, time to go to work and play. And, you know, for so many guys who come in and, you know, you watch them start to warm up, and, you know, you can see when players warm up, when they're doing the sprints, they're sprinting a little extra harder before the game. You know, they're looking up at the hill and, man, going, it's a lot of people. And that's a lot of baseball players that have hung around to watch this game. Like, it adds a little more to it. To the point where you just kind of go, man, we got something here. This is cool.
We're up to 2008, and this is where the Old Golds make their debut. Adam, what was your personal experience with the Worlds before showing up in an Old Golds uniform that year?
Well, the first thing we did, like, you know, it had been going on for a couple of years already, and so we kind of knew who the teams were, and you saw the trophy and you kind of saw all the names that were on there, and you're like, okay, there's the Capitals, the Cloudbusters, there's the, like, you knew the teams that you wanted to play and beat. And they put us in the very first game of the year, or at the tournament, in the back we say the crummy field. It's really not, it's a really
Hawthorne Glade. Hawthorne Glade.
So we're playing on the Glade. It's gone now, but we played the Cloudbusters the very first game, and we didn't know anything. We just knew the Cloudbusters had won this tournament. It felt like at the time, like six or seven times. I don't know how many it was actually, but it had so many of their names on the trophy. And we ended up beating them, and they were so angry. And we're like, wait, like, no other team has been angry when you play. Like, it's, you play a baseball game, and then you have hot dogs afterwards, and you talk about the game, and you drink beer, and you talk about stuff. Well, the Cloudbusters just, like, stoned off. They were so angry that we beat them. And it was like, you're this new team. There's a bunch of young Thundercats come in here and beat us up. Like, we're the Cloudbusters, damn it. So that was, like, our first experience. And we're like, holy crap. So then we kept playing and winning and got to the finals against the La-Di-Das. I mean, for us to look on that hill, and they had the whole length of the hill, there was probably 2,000 people that are watching this game, and they're playing the hometown, and when they announced the Saginaw Old Gold, the crowd booed, and we were like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen, and it was the most people I've ever played any organized sport in front of ever. So that whole thing was just like, I fell in love at that moment, because you're like, this, people are actually here to watch this baseball game? Like, we're a bunch of nerds playing baseball, and there's all these people watching? It was crazy. It was so much fun.
Go ahead.
If I can interject for a quick second here, Adam, I remember that Saturday, because when it was revealed that Saginaw beat the Cloudbusters, because you're on Hawthorne Glade way far away, and that was like the rumblings, like, oh my God, Saginaw? Like, but that's legit. Like,
yeah,
what happened to the Old Golds? They're legit now. Like, we better be prepared for them.
And that was Guapo wants to speak, and then I want to say something. So go ahead.
I'm just going to echo what Cougar said. This was the second World Tournament that I was not at, because I was living in New York, and
guys didn't make it.
Yeah, that's exactly what. I got a phone call from my mother and said, this new team beat the Busters in the first game. And I was like, you're lying. And she's like, no. She's like, they look really good. And she wasn't talking about your play, P.S. She was talking about your uniforms. And so
we were all younger back then, Rudy. We were all looking good.
And it rippled all the way to the East Coast. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. Cap.
All right. So just to kind of give the Old Golds and everybody else who might be too young to know who the Cloudbusters were, So we went and like you said, they ran through things up until about, you know, 2007 or so. After we played them in 2006 in the championship, we went out and played, which was stupid, the very next weekend in the Silver Ball tournament. So that basically we played like 9 baseball games in less than 7 days. And we only took like 9 guys with us to New York State to play in the Silver Ball. It was the dumbest ass decision ever. We had hamstrings getting pulled, people puking in the middle of they go off to the side of the field and bark because no one's in shape to do like 9 games in 7 days. But while we were there, we played the Akron Blackstockings, and it was a great, we got up to a 6-0 lead, and then it got to 6-6. And then all of a sudden, they have this weird thing they do at the Silver Ball where they're like, hey, you've got 5 minutes. We're like, what do you mean you got 5 minutes? Yep, you have 5 minutes. So we have 5 minutes after starting the game. No, you have 5 minutes. If they score a run, the game's over. And Akron, because they were up to bat and it was the top of the inning, basically said, so you're telling us, their captain, good guy. He said, you're telling us if we score a run in the next 5 minutes, the game's over and this other team doesn't even get another chance to actually tie, or, you know, they don't get their extra at-bats, their last at-bats. And he's like, no, it'll be over. And he says, well, then he said, let's just do a tie then. He said, you guys played hard. We played hard. Let's just end it now. We'll just end in a tie because, you know, it doesn't matter anyway, right? I mean, a tie counts. We can both move on in our bracket. And the umpire says, well, I guess you could do that. And I said, yeah. And me, I'm like, hell yeah, we'll go with a tie. I got 5 minutes. This is stupid. Three of their guys started grumbling on the Akron team. They're like, what are you talking about? And he turns to them and he says, hey, we are not the Clodbusters. We are the Akron Blackstockings. We will play with honor. The only time we played the Clodbusters really was that one day, but apparently that was a thing. I don't know. So yeah. Just so you have an idea of who you ended up beating in the very first game. Because when we saw that you had them in the first game, we're like, what the fuck? Pardon the language there, but who set this bracket up?
Right. Yeah, we had no idea who they were. We just know that they were phenomenal baseball players. And I go, okay, let's go out there. It's gonna be a fun game. Go. And then to squeak it out. To be honest, I don't even remember the score. I was gonna ask Heidi today to look up the old score, but I have no clue.
So wrapping up 2008, Jamie, you guys, you won the Finest Captain Award that year, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, it's right here.
How convenient. tell us about the run of Bay City in 2008.
In 2008, let's see, that was Saginaw's first year there. We won our first game. And so did Saginaw. And then the second game of – this is actually an interesting story. The second game of the day was against Saginaw on field one. And we had them. We were up by one run.
Oh, yes.
They had guys on second and first and second. There were two outs. And the vanilla gorilla comes up, Mr. Konashevsky, with two outs. Foul tips – back to the catcher.
It was Rope, wasn't it?
No, Rope wasn't in.
Who was it? I was trying to remember who it was.
He wasn't there that weekend. It fouled back to another gentleman, Hooks Freeling, and he couldn't secure the ball.
Okay.
Yep. And then and he had it in his hands and he dropped it. And that was it. If he catches
that ball, the
Saginaw run doesn't start because that game would have been over. And instead, the next pitch, and Konashevsky just crushes it. Those two runs score, we end up losing by one, and it was like it's okay to lose. I mean, shit, they're a good team, but it's like one of those things where it's like, damn it, the ball was right there. So then this is the thing. You guys go on to your glory and everything, and that's great. We pack up all of our shit and we have to play right now. Who's that game's over with? So we pack up all of our shit and grumble all the way over to Hawthorne Glade. By the time we get there, there's already a game going on. And we're like, hey, we're here for our game. What's going on? They're like, oh, you didn't get the new schedule. Like, what? You didn't get the new schedule. You guys are supposed to be playing on field one or field two. I'm like, what? Yeah, you're supposed to be playing on field two. So now we got to pack up all of our shit, and we either have to walk all the way around through Hawthorne Glade down the road, or we're going to cut right through field one. So we cut right through field one in the middle of the game, like walking like right through where the railroad tracks are and everything. And we're getting dirty looks from everybody. And our third baseman, Trevor David at the time, he's like, screw them, whatever. They gave us the wrong schedule. And we walk all the way through. And who's waiting for us on field one? The Welkins of Port Huron. And if anybody knows who the Welkins are, they are nice gentlemen, wonderful gentlemen, but they didn't want to play us like right then. We get down there, unload our stuff, and they're like, hey, you got to hurry up and play. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we give them the lineup and we get going. And I think we scored 24 runs before we got the second out. My cousin had gone around to third twice, and he's standing on third, and the guy looks at him for the Welkins and says, so, hey, how'd your other game end up? He said, we lost by a run. Oh, so you guys are probably pretty pissed. He's like, yep. He says, so you're going to take it out on us? He's like, probably. So that was a pretty good one. We had somebody dog it in that first inning to second base or to first base, and he made the third out. But like I said, we already scored a bunch of runs, so it wasn't any big deal. Our third baseman, who I just mentioned, Trevor David, he was pissed. He was livid. He's like, "You run that out! You run that out!" And I'm like, "Hey man, it's all right." He's like, "Fuck it, we're putting 50 on these bastards." And then he ran out the field. So I felt bad for him. But it only ended up being like 44-3. So
let's hear from Cougar about, we're going to talk just quickly about your memories of this championship match.
There was a little part of us that was scared because we didn't know what kind of team Saginaw was. Like, we only played them once in the regular season, but you know, they beat the Clodbusters, so they got to be pretty good. I only remember is we were up, and I think it must have been bottom of the ninth or so. I think we were up like 11-5 or so. I think and Golds put up two, and I think you had two runners on, and I think Squints, I hate to tell you, I think you made the last out.
Probably.
So Squints just smokes it at our third baseman. Adam pulled everything.
Oh, I know.
And so we were playing him to pull, and he just obliterated a blinding one hopper right to our third baseman, who's a big guy, just absorbed it. And I'm playing shortstop, and I'm like, yes! And there's this pause because he absorbed it and then didn't move. And I was like, the force out is at third, and he cradles it and then isn't going anywhere. And so I'm behind him and I'm like, yes, go, come on, get going over there. And I talked to him afterwards. He's like, I was just taking it in. that last inning, that was a scary last inning, I remember.
I looked up the score and stuff. Yeah, I think it finished 11-7, but it was like you handled us pretty good. And I think we put up five in like the sixth or seventh or something like that to make it kind of a closer game than what it really was. That we just couldn't get anything going, you know. And at the time, your defense was good. You guys were hitting like crazy. And we had that one inning because vintage baseball always has that one inning that – all of a sudden, one run turns into 18, it seems like. And every baseball game has got one of those big innings. And we had one to kind of make it a game again. But then you held us up.
So 2008 is over with the Lottie Dawes defeating the Old Golds. And the Old Golds come in their first year. They make it to the championship. They don't get to experience the feeling of losing and won't for a decade. So I guess that's how that went. So 2009, and this is where we can really get into it. This is where the Walker Tavern Wheels make their introduction into the world. And although I don't have any Walker results in front of me, Jimmy, how did Walker do in that first year?
Well, like I previously mentioned, I'm safe to say I don't know the scores. I don't know the opponents. But I do know the result of each and every game, and it was a loss for the Tavern. I think our guaranteed three games. I think they all were played on Hawthorne Glade, because that seems to be the traditional first year team's that's where they start out. And you, if you lose, you stay there. So that's where we ended up. We got a nice big bag of peanuts and a lot of mosquito bites. and a lot of memories.
Well, Jim, you mean, was that museum on Sunday?
Here's your parting gift of malaria.
Yeah, exactly.
Jimmy, what was your experience personally with the World Tournament before you show up with that club in 2009?
Well, it's funny. I was not the captain at the time, and coming into that atmosphere, it's nothing like we'd ever seen. We played at a tournament earlier in the year in Grand Rapids for the Kents, the Silas Cup, and that was a really nice tournament. And then we showed up to Greenfield Village, and it was eye-opening. You know, the amount of spectators, the amount of ball players, you know, 16 teams from all around the region, and, the sheer amount of ball that you played over those 2 days, and the other teams you got to interact with. I mean, I remember it because it was my first time, and it was, you know, phenomenal.
In 2009, it looks like the Capitals and the Bay City Independents, they meet in that bracket, and it looks like the score was 4-3. So starting with Jamie Johnson, do you have any memories of that match?
It rained a little bit. As I recall, the bats were going farther than the balls. And Marcus Dixon, I believe, was our umpire, and he had expressed the village's desire to try and get this game in. And then we were probably going to stop. And they, you know, as it's pouring rain, it's like, I don't think the hard stuff's going to come down for a while yet. It was kind of the way it was. And I think the ball after a little while felt like it weighed like 5 pounds.
So this is where I say that, just like with most clubs, I assume, you start to recognize when certain teams come on your radar, and across the board, these fine gentlemen, there has been times when I've looked at my brothers and I'm like, all right, so that's a team we're going to have to play eventually. And dreading it, because we clock you and we know you're there. And we had been delightfully avoiding Bay City. And when we drew them in this first match, we met in the barn while it was raining. And my little brother Eric and I, this was the first year that we had kind of like taken over the team, as far as like managing and captaining. And he looks at me and he goes, "We've got to play this game." He's like, "The rain will equalize. They can bomb it." He's like, "If it's raining, that ball's not going anywhere." He's like, "This is our only chance to beat them." And it was a strategic move to specifically play that. We were like, "We want to play this game. Let's play this game." And that was the only way we were going to be able to hang with Bay City. And it worked out for us, luckily. And the ball was a shot putt by like the second inning, and everybody was dropping it, and but we figured it was like, this is the only way we're going to be able to compete with them. And it worked out in our favor.
It was, I mean, seriously, it's like, as soon as we saw that we drew you, it was like, again, who's making these brackets up? But
said the same thing.
So anyway, it's like, damn, this is a game that people should want to watch. You know, it's like, this is like 8 o'clock in the morning, or like 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. No one's going to be there to watch this game. But you know, whatever. And then it just poured like hell, and we're like, oh fuck, it was terrible. It was just awful. But it was fun playing with. It was fun that we got to play a game in the rain with you guys, because it was hilarious. That was one of those games where the joking back and forth was just like, it's like, whatever. I mean, both teams are trying to win, but it's like the ridiculousness of running around in the pouring rain was just like, whatever.
It was a terrific bonding moment for both clubs, honestly. Mm-hmm. That was the year that we played the La-Di-Das in the semifinals. That was the year. So like, this was, once again, we had realized, we're like, okay, so the La-Di-Das, this is not the typical, this is not, you know, this is a focused La-Di-Das team. And Cougar and I, we actually talked about this match on a past episode of Roller Out the Barrel. Go back and check that out. Where like, it was, it came down to the final, like the last inning. It was the one where I was like faking like I was going to go fair foul, and I hit it out to center field and scored the tying run. And then I scored off of like a ground ball that got past the shortstop. And it was like, that was a match. Like we were like, okay, great. We got Bay City in our first match, only to meet this, I don't want to say new La-Di-Da team, but this like
super,
this it was like a, yeah, exactly. And it was a back and forth match. It was one of the toughest match, and it was like 99 degrees.
Yes.
It got so hot.
And yeah, we played that one game, Rudy, and then the next day you had to play five.
Yeah.
Championship.
Yeah. And it was like the ground was wet, so we were all boiling. And then so we squeaked by the La-Di-Das, and then I remember being like, all right, it's time for your championship match against the Old Goals. And I was like, well, shit, guys, let's just try and keep it close. And for me, it was my first time in a championship match. And of course it was against this team that I had heard about the previous year knocking off the Claude Busters. And I was like, well, guys, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe our luck has run out. And it did.
Cougar, what do you got from the La-Di-Das 2009 run that ended in that semifinal against Capitol?
So that, yeah, we were, I mean, and not to diminish the abilities of the other teams, but there's a lot of pressure that goes into being a La-Di-Da at the World Tournament, not only for an ability standpoint, but, you know, anybody who comes in wants to cheer for the home team. And so there's a lot of extra pressure that gets put on you. So some of the players actually went, you know, this maybe really isn't all that fun. Is there any way I can get put on one of the other teams or give some of the other guys, you know, a chance? And so we were doing some trades with the Nationals and with the Unknowns, our other Greenfield Village clubs, to bring some players on. Players that had played all season in the hope that, you know, I'll get selected onto the La-Di-Das. And so we were moving some players around. The chemistry wasn't quite there, and you know, the hits that were falling in 07 and 08 weren't falling in 09, and you know, I think the pressure kind of got to us. And I absolutely remember what Rudy was talking about, because I remember swearing all the way back to hit the ball that was hit over my head, because I was creeping in, and he did what a smart ball player does: read the defense and take advantage of it. So yeah, we were, I mean, it was time, you know, it was not our time, but it was time for some new teams to step up, and Saginaw absolutely did.
So Adam, Saginaw plays a Wyandotte team, which hasn't appeared up until now.
Right.
So I don't know what their history is at Worlds. I don't know what you guys are thinking of playing against Wyandotte at this time. How did that match go from your memory?
So strangely enough, I remember the Wyandotte team. I think their first two games scored over 20 runs. I feel like the first two games of the tournament, and we didn't know much about them. So I always tell all the guys, like, hey, we don't know anything about them. We have to play defense, do this. These guys have been putting up a ton of runs. Let's go out there, just play smart, and don't give them any extra outs. That was our whole biggest thing, is don't give away extra outs. So we came in with all the idea that this was going to be just a booming type game. It's going to be 100% offensive. That's what it's going to be. And we end up scoring 18 on them, and I think they scored five. So that was like a huge sigh of relief, because that whole weekend we were just, why not killing people? They're killing people. And I don't remember who they played, but their scores were looking way lopsided. So we were a little bit nervous going in. So I don't remember a lot of the details. I just have the scores in front of me, but I just know that I remember that weekend saying, like, this Wyandotte team, we have played them in the past, but this weekend they're killing teams. So let's be smart. And then whatever it was, we came out on top.
So we get to the championship match, and obviously it is quite a matchup of the Old Golds and the Capitals. And Rudy, we'll go to you first. Fresh off the Bed Bath & Beyond Mexico version campaign that you were in,
you come to Greenfield Village and you win the captain, the best captain's award in 2009. Is this true?
Well, yeah, we won best captain. And my little brother Eric and I went up to accept it because we were both like, this was the first year that we had ever had responsibility for putting together a roster, managing the club, things like that. And so we shared that responsibility. So we went up to receive the award. I just want to say he has that award. And then my older brother, Ian, took the runner-up cup. And so I got nothing that weekend. But
you got memories.
So Rudy,
minute here, Matt. Yeah. The whole reason that Ian even has that runner-up cup is because, and the only reason I have several of these, is because there was somebody who was really grumbly when they didn't get a runner-up cup their first year in the championship game.
Hey, and they said, what are you talking about? I don't want to hear it.
Hey, all I gotta say is I gotta thank Richard because I have a lot of these because he was not happy that he got nothing for finishing in second place.
And that's good stuff, Rudy. Championship match. What are your memories?
Getting stumped. I'm not lying. The old goals, they were everything we knew they were. It was a waking nightmare. I think Ian definitely got heat stroke.
It was like, hot. It was so bad. I remember Brandy ran out and like called timeout in the middle of the game and like gave him water and like he's gonna die at first base. And she like yelled at him from the sidelines.
He was like red in the face. Yeah. And we didn't have anything. I mean, we had a ragtag bunch of guys out there, you know, playing. And I mean, the La-Di-Das were the old goals were just amazing. Like, honestly, power. That's what I remember because I was like a left fielder solely back then. And I remember being like, well, I'm standing at first base on the other field. What is going – like, it's – the guys could just pound the ball wherever they want it. Honestly, you know, you try to stay optimistic as a captain. And I was just excited to be in the championship game. But I – deep down, I was like, God – let's just keep this close. There's no way we're going to get out of this. So that's what I remember.
I remember the heat. The heat was so outrageous. I remember that feeling of like, we just lost in front of all these people last year. Here we are again. And everyone knew who Columbus was. You guys bomb the ball. And we knew Rudy is the king of the fair foul slapper because he was slapping so much at the time. So like, okay, Rudy's going to come up to the plate and he's going to end up on second base because that's how we're going to start the game. And then it was just like, okay, what do we have to do? Our whole thing has been don't give away outs. That was our whole thing, like play smart defense. And yeah, we had guys that could boom the ball and they were like surprising guys that could boom the ball. That was the funnest part of our team, I think, is like, yeah, your first three guys are kind of your thumpers, but our bottom three guys are pretty good thumpers too. And when we started playing, especially with all you guys here right now, is that we didn't know each other very well. Like now we play each other. We know where to play Rudy. We know when Jim's up, where we're going to go. We know when Marbles is going to go up. We know where to go. When Jeff is up, here we go. But at that time, you really had no idea. Straight up, like you were trying to play smart baseball. Like, okay, the left fielder's playing deep. Don't swing as hard and drop it in front of him. Oh, he's in far. Okay, burn the left fielder. Like, and then when you see like Columbus is, they were tired. I mean, we were tired too, some of our big guys, but that you could tell they were like everyone was beat, and you could see like when Ian, their big thumper. I mean, Ian is Ian. Look at him and like, oh my God, he's like Superman on the team right now, and he's dying. Like, don't let off the gas. Keep going, keep going, keep going. You know. And after that game was done, it was so like it was just so rewarding. I think like I forget who said it. Like that first time. Oh, Jeff. Like the first time you win it, you're like, holy crap! Like that was a lot of work, and you just had to walk through. You know, Columbus, who was a massive team for years, you're like, holy crap, we just did something really cool. You know what I mean? And we didn't have like Forest City, we played early on, and Forest City always gave us a really good game at that time. And we beat them in the first game. And then we had Wyandotte when they were looking like they were killing people. We had the Nationals team, which we know is like the la-di-da light at the time, you know. So we felt like we had to beat some good teams. And then, like, kind of like Rudy said, the reverse. We were like, oh, great, now we got to play Columbus. I mean, you know, when you get in the championship, you're going to play a good team. But it was just – it was hot, and we didn't want to let, like, that moment go away.
To echo the hot and the Forest City thing. So that weekend we lost in the rain, the first game, and then it was everything was cut. No one played. So the next day you were guaranteed at least two more games, and if you made it to the championship game, I think you had to play like four games. I think that next day, and they put time limits on. Well, and it was Africa hot. Yeah. It wasn't just hot; it was Africa hot. It was actually, the heat index was 110. And the humidity on Walnut Grove 2, where we played four games that day to make it to the reserve championship, was insane. And here's the thing. With the reserve championship, on field one, where everybody's watching, they're all like, oh, you know, you have to maintain your 19th century appearance and everything. And everybody's down there watching.
Yeah.
Reserve championship, no one really cares. No one's down there watching. No one's paying any damn attention. We're down there playing Forest City. It's 110 degrees. One of the guys from Forest City, I don't even think he's really wearing a uniform. It's like a loincloth.
That's cool, right?
Bam, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And all the water is on our bench. We keep offering it to them, and they're like, no, we're good. And I'm like, dude, I want to see you like die of a stroke. The water's over here. And then my brother-in-law, who for whatever reason brought his two kids, they're playing over by our bench and like dipping their heads in the water, like pouring on themselves while these poor bastards are under a tree dying. It's like, what are you doing? Get the kids out of here. And no one cares because no one's watching. And
Mike, before we hit 2010 here, what year is it that you make your debut at the World?
Playing 2014.
Oh, then get him out of here.
Are you attending any of these matches?
I attended everything from like 2003 through, wow, I think about 2010 or 11. I think it was 11, and then I didn't go in 12 or 13.
So sad that this is the end of part one of our world tournament coverage. But alas, there will be a tomorrow, as part two will be coming out within the week. I would like to go on record as thanking Adam McCulley, Jamie Johnson, Jim Terwilliger, Jeff Kozlowski, and Rudy Frias, captains of the five finest baseball clubs to ever grace the field at Greenfield Village. And of course, you got 5 seconds of Mike Feeney, and it was glorious. Make sure you check in to part two, where Mike Feeney speaks more and the Walker Tavern wheels win matches. It's outstanding! Coming soon, season two. Bye.